You're listening to Tea Time with Katie and Chelsea, a podcast all about pop culture that these brilliant ladies enjoy. So, heat up your kettles. It's tea time.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chelsea, and you are listening to Tea Time with Katie and Chelsea, a proud member of the Geek to Geek podcast network. This week, we are discussing Will They or Won't They relationships on TV, a topic we got very heated about in our last episode.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So we thought we'd do a full episode on this because we were just super excited to talk about it. But before we get into that, Katie, what have you been up to?
So it's been kind of busy over here. I went to the dentist.
Yay!
Had some work done. I love the dentist. No, it's fine. I got like 3 fillings or something. I have no idea.
I hate
it. It was like 2 or 3, but my favorite part about it was like, this might get a little gross. So like he put this like paper thing in my mouth so that he could hold it and also like absorbs saliva. Yeah. So they don't have to like suction as much. But he was pushing, the paper wasn't sticking to my cheek like it normally does. And he was pushing it back, and like where he was doing the work, he had to numb the top of my my jaw. So it was like, it was the upper right. And he had to give me a shot of lidocaine.
Yeah.
Into like my palate, like my upper right side, and ended up slightly numbing my uvula. So like when he pushed the paper back too far, it was touching like my tonsil, and then I started to like gag and I almost vomited on the
oh my god. That's awful.
I'm a dentist. So he had this like clamp on my tooth, and like it was like half done, and I was like waving my arms. I was like blah blah blah. I was like, oh, you need to stop.
That's terrible. He goes, okay, don't.
He's like, okay, don't bite down all the way. And I'm like, I won't. I'm just trying not to puke. Like,
oh my god.
I just need a minute, okay? I'll leave my mouth open, but I need a minute.
Oh god. I hope I don't have to go to the dentist for a while. Although I actually probably do.
And being okay, like, I got through it okay. But, like, the dentist is, like, every time so far that there's been something. Like,
oh, for you, either, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not either numb enough. I'm not, like... Just, the dentist and me, we don't mesh well, apparently. Oh,
god. I hate the dentist. I never had a problem with the dentist until, like, remember when I had to get, like, my root canal, or, yeah, my root canal, and then my wisdom teeth taken out, like, all, like, within, like, a few weeks, and then, like, I had fillings, and it was just, and then the money, god, the money.
Oh, god. Yeah.
Like, came at the worst time. I was just, like, one of the worst experiences I've ever had. And so now I'm just, like, I actually, like, physically, like, freak out when I hear about the dentist.
You're, like, no dentist ever.
I'm like, no, please, no.
No, please, oh my god. Yeah, so it was, I mean, it was fine. I mean, in the end, like, it ended up being okay. And, like, he got the fillings done, and I only need to get one more set of fillings on the left. So that's good.
That's good.
I was like, can we schedule this appointment for, like, October? I need a break.
Yeah, for real, dude.
But, so, like, my mouth is still kind of sore. I went to trivia on Wednesday, which was super fun. Ooh. I was at work until, like, almost 8 because we had a release and, like, things didn't, like, go as planned and, like, all the stuff happened. And then, like, I needed to stay and help somebody else, like, one of our engineers. And, like, it got to the point where, like, my boss was like, where are you? Like, she was messaging me. And I was like, I'm still here. And she was like, I'm telling you that you need to leave. I'm your grand boss and you have to do what I tell you.
Aw.
Because she was at trivia. Yeah, well, she was the one who invited me to trivia. So, like... I told the engineer I was working with, I was like, actually, like, I can't stay anymore. Like, since the release is technically done, like, I need to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for your help. And I was like, you're welcome. So, like, I put my stuff in my car and, like, hustled down. There's a bar called The Blind Donkey where they do Geeks Who Drink trivia every Wednesday at 7:30. It's free. So if people are, like, in the Old Town Pasadena area, like... You can go to trivia, and sometimes I go, sometimes I don't.
Very cool.
So I went to trivia, and, like, because Carrie was like, we need your pop culture expertise. And I was like, oh my God, guys.
You're like, calm down.
So we came in second, which is great. So we're going to be up on the Geeks Who Drink website.
Cool.
So that'll be super cool. We won $25 to spend at the bar.
Drinks galore.
What else did I do? I'm going to save my other cool stuff for my weekly geekery. So I'm going to save it.
All right. Sounds good.
Oh, my birthday. I forgot about that. My birthday party was great. Everybody had a great time. Everybody loved it. Bowling was great. I got a couple of strikes. I still suck at bowling. Brandon went into this, like, my friend Brandon, who's a musician, showed up, who went into this, like, rant about how he's terrible at bowling and then bowled, like, 3 strikes in 1 game. And we're like, you're a liar.
You're like, okay, buddy.
So, yeah, it was great. Super fun. I'm so glad everybody had a great time. And I love my presents that I got because everybody's super wonderful.
Very cool.
Anyways. What were you doing?
I did a lot of watching stuff, which is funny because, like, I felt like this week I didn't watch that many TV shows or whatever, but apparently I did once I started writing everything down. So Eamon is writing an article for Set the Tape, which has launched, by the way. You can now go check out setthetape.com, free promo.
Oh my God.
He's writing an article about bad moms and like 5 bad, or what is it? It's 5 girls behaving badly comedies.
Mm-hmm.
So he's writing about like Bridesmaids and those kind of movies, basically. And one of them was Bachelorette, but he had never seen it. So I was like, well, let's watch it. So we watched the movie Bachelorette, which you've seen, right? With Rebel Wilson, Kirsten Dunst, Lizzie Kaplan.
I feel like I have. I might be wrong. I might have watched a different independent movie that sounds similar.
It's kind of independent. It's not, like, I never heard of it coming out until it was already up on Netflix. Not that it's a Netflix original, just that Adam Scott's in it. But, yeah, it was funny because I had remembered it so fondly, and then when we watched it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I like it as much. It's just, there's one storyline that's really, really good, and I think I only remembered that one storyline.
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's still good overall. It just, I don't know. I don't really like women using the C word, and they kind of do that, and they call each other bitches, and, well, things like that. Oh, so, and it's written by a woman and directed by a woman. I was kind of disappointed about that, but
they fell into the tropes and the stereotypes. Way to go.
Yeah, they more of like leaned on that stereotype, and it's like I don't know, I just wasn't a fan of it. But we also watched Chef. I don't know, with the
No, that's the wrong movie, sorry.
I was thinking of the
Bradley Cooper one, but that's called Burnt.
No, Chef. It's the, oh God, I don't know his name. I'm terrible. But he's the guy from, like, Iron Man. He directed Iron Man 2. He directed Elf. He directed...
Jon Favreau.
Yes. Him and Sofia Vergara.
Yeah. So Jon Favreau was the one who directed Happy. It's Happy.
Yes.
From Iron Man.
Yeah. So, watched that movie. That was really good. And then The Good Place just went up on Netflix. Yep. And now it's going to be airing week by week on Netflix here for season 2, which is so cool. Eamon hadn't seen it because it just came over here in the UK on Netflix, so we binged it in about 2 days.
Oh, nice.
Because there's only 13 episodes, and they're all, like, 20 minutes, so it was super quick to get through. So that was fun, and then because we had started watching that because we had finished Breaking Bad.
Oh my God, you finished that show already?
Yeah, I was trying to get through it because I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as a lot of people did. However, the final half of the last season is like one of the best things I've ever seen on TV. So it kind of made the whole experience worth it. Like, I was super behind. I was super behind on the whole Breaking Bad thing. Like, everyone was watching it. Everyone was saying it was amazing. And I was like, yeah, it just doesn't look like anything I'd want to watch. And even when I watched it, I was like, I really would never watch this on my own. Like, I would probably get through season one and turn it off. But I'm telling you, by the time you get to the end, you're just like, wow, that was one of the best things I've ever seen. So that was cool. And yeah, I'm going to save the rest of mine for Weekly Geekery. So why don't we just go into that? Talk about what kind of geeky things we did this week. So what did you do that was geeky, Katie?
So on Sunday, I went with some friends from work, and we actually did a rooftop viewing of the film La La Land in LA. So it was like the most amazing experience ever. So it was like a rooftop viewing of a movie about LA in LA with LA in the background.
So cool. That must have looked amazing.
You couldn't get much more perfect. I mean, the only thing that was the problem was it was cold. It was a little cold up there because, you know, we're up high. So it was a little windy, but it was so much fun. I enjoyed La La Land very much. I hated the ending. I thought it was terrible.
Oh, you did? You thought it was awful?
No, I'm still mad about it. I'm so mad about it. And the thing was, is that, like, so one of the people I work with who, it was actually at his house. Because we're thinking about using La La Land as part of something that we're doing for work. So, and I hadn't seen it, so I got yelled at a lot about having never seen the movie. But the person whose house we used, he, like, ruined the end of the film, and I was still reading the chat, and, like, Erwin was like, "What the heck, man?
How dare he?"
Spoilers. He goes, "Oh, I'll delete it." And I'm like, "It's too late. Already read it."
Yep. Can't delete it from my mind.
Nope. So, like, I went in knowing how it was going to end, but that didn't make it any, like, better.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed. I think I would have liked the movie a lot better if it had had the ending that I thought it was going to have. But then again, it was better because it didn't go with what you expected. I don't know.
I mean, I understand, like, that they, you know, like, I don't want to ruin it for anybody else, but, like, the direction in which they decided to go, but I could have totally not used that montage at the end of how, like, it could have been.
Yes.
Because that just made me more mad, because I'm like, look how perfect it could have been, like, how it could have been, but no, you had to ruin it, and, like, this.
I wouldn't have minded as much if they didn't, like, show me. You know.
Exactly. I didn't need them to throw it in my face of, like, how it could have been.
I don't know.
Like,
it was pretty and it was beautiful, but I was sitting there going, like, what the heck, man? Like,
just dang it. Yeah. Like, why?
I get your feelings on that for sure.
Yeah. So,
how'd you like the music and the songs? Like, I'm assuming you'd listen to the soundtrack because you have the soundtrack.
I do. I have listened to the soundtrack. I really liked it.
You liked it, like, on screen?
So, as part of, like, the thing that we're doing at work, so Joel is very good at playing the piano, and so we were like, guess who gets to play the piano live? He nice. Goes, and we're like, so get, you know, set on learning those songs from La La Land.
Nice.
So, yeah. I've been spending a lot of time with those two guys.
That's cool.
Erwin and Joel. Because they're so amazing. But I'm still working on Riverdale, because I'm, like, super slow with that.
Oh, I'm listening to your friend's podcast, and I'm totally digging it.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The episodes are long.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it, so.
Yeah. So, I actually talked to him. Sneak peek, I was going to talk to you about, like, potentially having him on the podcast, like, him and his co-host, to talk about their show and then talk about Riverdale.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Potentially, but it would have to be, like, way later because...
We'll talk about that.
Of something we're going to talk about later of this podcast. So, but yeah, my weekly geekery's not as much as it could have been, but I'm trying to get, like, pepped up because, like, shows are starting already.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like... anticipating the beginning of TV shows, and no, I haven't caught up on Supergirl or Arrow or Supernatural.
It's okay. You'll get there.
Hey, find some time to just watch some TV, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, one more thing. So yesterday Tiffany came over. Like, this is also Weekly Geekery, I guess. I showed her my favorite movie.
Okay.
Born Yesterday with Melanie Griffith, Don Johnson, and John Goodman. And Edward Herman's in it. And she loved it. And I was like, everybody should see this movie because I love Melanie Griffith so much. She's like the best actress on the planet and she's my favorite. And this movie is so incredible. And like Tiffany was like, this is such a great movie. I can't believe I've never seen this before. And I'm like, welcome.
You're welcome.
Yes. Maybe we should do an episode about that because I don't think you've seen that movie either.
No, I have not. Yeah, we can add it to the list. We're planning way ahead now, which I'm kind of excited about, because I feel like for a while there, we were trying to, like, okay, what should we do this week? But
we were just week to week, flying by the seat of our pants, just making stuff up as we went along.
Now we're like, oh, I guess we could do that 2 months from now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's mine. What geeky stuff have you been doing this week?
So all the comics that I bought last week, I have now read. So yay! Oh. If you want to know which ones those are, listen to last week's episode. Ha ha ha! No, but I just don't want to go through them again. You know.
No worries.
I listened to the Comic Box, which is, let me see what episode it was. La la la! It wasn't this week's. It was last week's. It was Leo as the Joker, Ludacris as Doctor Strange. So it was cool, though. They talked about the Joker solo movie that might be coming out, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and produced by Martin Scorsese. So that's interesting. Leo. And it was kind of cool because he was talking a lot about, like, our episode the previous week. And so it kind of caught me off guard. I was listening to it and he's like, oh yeah, Chelsea and I talked about that last week. And I was like, whoa, what?
It always throws me for a loop whenever the other podcasts like mention us.
Yeah,
at any point, because I'll be listening to it, they're like, yeah, Katie and Chelsea. I'm like, what?
what? Yeah, and then he actually recommended a comic for me at the end, and I'm totally gonna get it. I just need to wait until I go out to a comic book store again. So
nice.
Or order it online, but yeah, so that was kind of fun. And then the big thing I really, really want to talk about, which you probably saw on my Instagram, I read this book called Moxie. It's by Jennifer Matthew, and it is a super, super cool book. It is about a girl in high school who lives in, like, a small town in Texas, and things are very traditional. The football players are very sexist. It's just a very, like, it's a very, like, sexist football-centric town, right? And so her mom used to be a Riot Girl back in the day, which is, like, in the 90s when a lot of girls were, like, into Joan Jett, and they were all about promoting feminism and about promoting safe spaces for girls and, like, all-girl shows, and it was just, like, a certain type of music, and she became inspired by all that and made her own zine, or, like, a newsletter, but it's called a zine. And basically, like, anonymously puts out this zine saying, like, hey, are you sick of, like, the way that girls are treated in this school? Like, if you want to join the cause, like, let's do this. And so she, like, puts out a thing, like, every few months, kind of trying to band the girls together at the school and, like, try to change things.
Okay.
And they actually do make some real change by the end. And it's, she kind of, the character kind of goes through the experience of realizing what feminism is, and then kind of realizing, like, why it's so important. Because, like, all of the typical arguments are said in the book, like, oh, well, shouldn't it just be called equalism, or, like, being a humanist or whatever? Like, why is it called feminist? Like, basically all of those arguments happen, and she's, like, she slowly realizes, like, why exactly, like, it is feminism. Because yes, while you want men and women to be equal, part of that is raising women up, you know, bringing women up and like, treating them as equal. Like, so yeah, it just really like simply and nicely just focuses on feminism and why it's important. And it's just such a book that I wish I had when I was a teen. You know, like you feel so empowered after you read it. Like I read it in one day. like I was reading it and then I was like, I need to read more. No, I need to read more. And then I stayed up till like 12:30 at night. Like, I need to finish this. So it was just really, really good. So I think it'd be cool to do either an episode on that in the future or add it to like a themed episode or something. But yeah.
Okay. So, that's really cool. I like it.
That was a super long rant, but I'm sorry. I just like, that was such a good book and it just really inspired me this week. So that was really cool.
You're fine. You're fine.
Don't worry. All right.
Hey guys. So this week during my podcast listening while sitting in traffic, I was listening to a special episode of the Geek to Geek podcast, which is obviously a part of the Geek to Geek podcast network. So on this episode, it featured Void and his wife, and she talked all about knitting, which is like super amazing. And I love this episode so much that I actually commissioned an amazing handmade scarf from her, which I cannot wait to be the owner of. I'm so excited about it. So this episode was called Knitting Floor to Ceiling Packed with Fiber. So everybody should actually go listen to this episode and then listen to the rest of Beige and Void's episodes. And so keep listening now for a preview of the Geek to Geek podcast.
I'm Void.
And I'm Beige.
And together, we're the Geek to Geek podcast. Well, we make it. It is kind of us, but I guess it's separate.
Every week, we pick a topic from geek or digital culture and chat about it for a while.
And you're invited. We talk about books and movies, games, comics, the internet.
Or really whatever we feel like.
Yeah, that too.
So look for the Geek to Geek podcast on iTunes.
Or wherever your podcasts are sold. Or downloaded. Or whatever.
And we're back. So once again, we are discussing will they or won't they relationships on TV. A trope that I feel like was very, very big in the 90s and the 2000s, but is sort of a trope that TV is moving away from a bit now. I mean, some shows still have it going on and some shows still do it, but I feel like TV shows are kind of moving away from that style. Like, it's not as heavy as it was in the 90s and 2000s. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree, because I was looking at the TV shows that I chose for this topic, and, mm-hmm. like, the couples, and I was like, you know, a lot of my shows were, like, late 90s, early 2000s, except for, like, two.
Because I feel like, I mean, obviously not 100% of the shows had a couple, but I feel like a huge majority of TV shows had that couple, you know, like, that couple that was basically the reason why people kept coming back each week, you know?
Oh, definitely.
So I thought instead of just picking like a few couples each and sharing those, I thought we could just discuss the trope itself, and therefore it would give us a chance to talk about like many different relationships at a time.
Yes.
Cool. So my first question is, how do you feel about these types of relationships overall?
If it's done well, I'm actually okay with it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I think I've voiced my opinion many times on this podcast regarding how I feel about relationships in TV shows, that I'm definitely one of those people who, like, will watch a show particularly for a relationship because I like it and I like the way the story unfolds around that couple or like those two people and trying to get them together. But if it's done badly, like it's just not good. But overall, like I like it. I'm a sucker for this particular trope sometimes, depending like when you hear my list of shows like that I like couples that I chose is like the ones that I really like. You'll understand that, relationships on TV shows are, like, a big thing for me. I mean, like, I watch shows that don't have relationships. Like, Law & Order SVU doesn't have any, like, real romantic relationships on it.
Yeah.
Like, Criminal Minds doesn't really do that either. Like, a lot of the procedural shows don't focus on that kind of stuff. Like, very few do. But, like, all the drama shows, like, obviously, like, they live and breathe.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The relationship aspect, so.
I agree.
And that's what I watch.
I am, like, full on, like, a sucker for this trope. Like,
like, to the point where it's, like, so bad, we're like, we shouldn't like this. You're like, but secretly, well, I love it.
It's not a bad trope. It's just, no. I think it did get overdone, and it was becoming very obvious that networks were doing this for ratings and not because it was a good story. So that was kind of a struggle, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm here for it, girl. I am here for it.
You're like, is my couple getting together this week? I mean, are they? Are they not? Like, how many freaking seasons do I need to wait?
Exactly. So, like, for an example, I haven't had, like, a new couple that has been very much will they or won't they, that's actually, like, the show is pushing you to want them together, if that makes sense. Until I started watching Suits, which has Donna and Harvey, and at first I was like, ooh, I like them, and then, like, I'm not gonna spoil what happens, but, like, let's just say a big moment happens at the end of season 7, and I was just like, oh my god, that's it, I'm reading the fanfic, I'm watching the fan videos, like, I am all in.
You're like, I'm in it to win it. I'm all in.
Because, like, lately I've been either focusing on a couple that really doesn't exist, isn't canon, isn't pushed at all, or I've been focusing on a lot of my old fandoms. But this was just nice to have, like, a more current, like, thing that I was just, like, all in for. So, why do you think TV shows became so focused on this trope?
I think the 90s were, like, 100%, like, a big thing. Like, that was became a big thing for these shows, like, late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Because I think everybody just became super invested in relationships on shows. Because, like, the WB was the one that was rocking these more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the WB slash CW has always been that network that's, like, the queen of the will-they-won't-they couples.
Yes.
Like, every show on that network has one. Like, even now, like, the shows that are currently airing, like, they have those freaking, like, every single show has it.
Exactly.
I don't know, it's just, like, maybe it was just what people were responding to the most. Maybe it was, like, the time frame where, like, more people were starting to, like, become invested in watching TV during the late 90s. So they needed to find a way that would, like, resonate with viewers. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, with women or even, like, with men, like, relationships seem to be the one thing that resonates the most with people a lot of the time.
Yeah,
I agree. So they were trying to, like, but they just became so focused on that where, like, every single show had a couple in it or had more than one couple. Like, even freaking, like, a show like ER became like that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, This show is a medical show. Like, it's a medical drama, and it's focused on that. But then you have a show like Grey's Anatomy, which is also like that.
Yes.
So, it's, like, relationships just became such a big part of, like, every single TV show. And they're still like that now, but I feel like the earlier shows were, like, deeply invested in the, like, come back next week to find if your couple is going to be together. Like, how many seasons did we have to wait for Gilmore Girls? I mean,
yes. I mean, like, there's, I feel like there's two types of will they, won't they relationships on TV shows. There's the one that, like, drags it out forever, like, forever, oh, forever. And then there's, like, I would call that, like, the Luke and Lorelai, like, style.
Yes.
Although not even really that. I mean, kind of that. Okay. And then there's the, like, Ross and Rachel, where, like, they're getting together, they're breaking up. They're getting together, they're breaking up. They're getting, you know what I mean? Like, there's the, oh, like, yes, they're finally together. And then, like, oh no, we gotta rip them apart, you know? But, like, I mean, even Luke and Lorelai did that too, but they did the, like, you know, 5-year stretch of keeping them apart. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it is on Suits. Like, it's been 7 years and they're still not together. And I'm just like, God, come on. But, I think it's, like, you know, I don't know, like, you just get so worked up about it. If that makes sense, you're like, just get together already. Okay, I have to see next week if they're together. And I think it creates a passionate fan base, not just like a casual audience.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of just having people like, oh, well, oh no, I'm going to miss this episode. Oh, well, like, I guess I'll just miss it. It's like, oh no, I can't miss it. I got to see like what happens. And so like, especially back in the day of, not having DVR and like TiVos and recording, you know, devices. Like, yep. I think people were like, no, 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 no. Like, I'm dedicated. I have to watch this episode to find out if my couple's getting back together. It's not like, oh, okay, well, I'll just record it. Whatever. No big deal.
Nope. You know? It did not work that way. Like, if you're a TV show, like, if you missed it, like, you weren't going to see it again until they showed previews or if you purchased it.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
It just, or you recorded it on tape on VHS. Yeah,
exactly.
But nobody knows how to program a freaking VCR. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
So why do you think TV shows eventually moved away from it? Do you think it was just because it was overdone, or they found a new and better way of doing this, or it was just time?
I think it, like, they kind of shifted away from it maybe because it was just so overdone. That maybe because, like, every single TV show was doing it at the time that they wanted to find something different.
Yeah, it was just getting, like, forced after a while.
Yeah, so, like, at a certain point, there wasn't one TV show that, like, I was watching that didn't involve some sort of, like, will they, won't they couple, or, like, a couple that they put together and then tore apart and then put them back together. Like, there wasn't a show that I was watching that didn't have some sort of, like, part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like, it went the same way as, like, you know, remember at one point, like, there wasn't a show that wasn't on TV that wasn't a procedural cop show?
Yes, exactly.
And that, like, there were three CSIs, three Law and Orders, like, there were so many different of the same thing, just taking place in different locations, that maybe the same similar thing happened. Because, like, for a while, like, procedural cop shows went out the window. Like, you didn't see any of them. And, well, like, for a while, you saw the, like, relationships on shows weren't as, like, prominent. Mm-hmm. That, like, they took a bit of a backseat to certain things. I mean, like, still shows did the relationship thing, but it wasn't, I guess maybe it wasn't as big of a focus. Or, like, we didn't become so invested in a particular couple or something happening on the show that you were invested in sort of the lives of all the characters.
Yeah, it wasn't like that was the only thing you came for.
Yeah, like zeroing on, like, I'm only here for this. Like, this couple, like, these two people getting together is what I live my life for.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't know about live your life for.
Yeah, I don't go out on Wednesday nights because I gotta see my show.
Like, for example, like, I feel like Castle was a show that was like, if you took out the relationship element, like, yeah, there was a show there, but not really. Like, it was just another procedural. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there, like, were some shows that were so focused on the relationship that if you remove that, then it had nothing.
Yeah, because, I mean, I love Castle and I loved the cases that they did, but I think they were, like, a show that really struggled with, like, once they got to that point, you know?
Yeah.
So, what are some of your top relationships, Katie?
Oh my god. Okay, so I wrote this down. So, for me, I picked... how many did I pick? Technically, it's five, but one of them is a twofer. Okay. So, I went with, from Dawson's Creek, I went with Dawson and Joey.
Yes.
But also Joey and Pacey.
Oh, heck yes.
Because this show... We'll get into it, because, like, I flip-flop between, like, who I needed to be together.
Yes.
And in the end, I was, like, the way that show ended, I was, like, Pacey and Joey forever.
Yes. Like,
I'm invested in this. I also went with Felicity and Oliver and Arrow, because I love them.
Yes.
I'm 100% an Felicity shipper.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like, to the point where, like, when I was watching the show and she was like interested in Ray. Remember like when her and Ray Palmer were like together?
Yes.
I used to get so angry. Like Karen and I would rage at each other because it was in school. So like we'd rage over the phone, like texting each other about it. And I'm like, God, Superman is so beautiful, but he's such a jerk because he's getting in the way of my OTP.
I know. And it was kind of like he was a nice guy. Like you had absolutely no reason to hate him. And you were like, no, but this isn't the right couple.
This isn't right. Like, that's why, like, we ended up, like, I screen capped our conversation and tweeted it at him. And I was like, this is why we only call, like, he's not Ray Palmer, he's Superman. Yes. And, like, we're always raging about, like, how great he is, but how much we hate him at the same time. And he actually, like, liked it, which was really funny.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, God, Brendan Routh saw our conversation. I didn't mean it.
Whoops.
I did 100%. He's just Superman. That's all. He's my forever Superman. I love him. Anyways, next would be Buffy and Angel.
Oh, yes.
On Buffy the Vampire Slayer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I also went with a newer, so like Arrow, newer show. Also, I went with Lucifer, the TV show Lucifer that's on right now. Lucifer and Chloe.
Yes.
Like, that is a straight up, like, stereotyped will they, won't they couple. And it's really starting to make me really angry, and I want to see swear words, but we're not an explicit podcast.
No, we're not.
So I'm going to keep my swear words to myself. I'm sure people can fill in the blanks for me.
Yes.
And then I went with Max and Liz from Roswell.
Aww.
Because I love them.
Very nice.
Roswell. Love that show. But yeah, those are like my top couples, I think. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I added some other stuff further on where I can rage a little bit, but those are, like, my top couples.
Cool.
So,
I did not write mine down, which would have been smart to do, but, I mean, I pretty much know what relationships. So, obviously, my number one is Luke and Lorelai from Gilmore Girls.
Obviously.
Obviously. My second would be Mulder and Scully from The X-Files.
Wah.
Yes. Wah. And then I would say Booth and Brennan from Bones, just because I have a history, and Castle and Beckett, because I also have a history. Castle and Beckett from Castle, obviously.
Yes.
And then now I would say, Donna and Harvey, just because, from Suits, because I'm just so into it right now. It's just fresh in my mind.
You're like, I'm so invested.
I am. So, yeah, those, how many was that? Is that roughly five? Yeah, so
probably.
those are my top ones right now. Those are the ones that I, like, have fan video playlists on YouTube for, if you know what I mean. Like, those are the ones I'm, like, hardcore about, so.
I mean, I didn't put these in any order. Actually, you know what? That's actually perfect, because I watch so many fan videos of Felicity and Oliver, it's kind of a problem. Also read a lot of fan fiction about them.
Yes. Get excited, guys. We are definitely doing a fan fiction episode in the future, but it'll be like,
it's what, gonna like a month be so good.
It's gonna be great.
Because I already have like the fan fictions listed out that I'm gonna talk about.
Oh crap. Okay, I gotta make lists.
Because I'm like people need to read these.
I have one for sure that's top of my list. Okay, anyways, we're getting sidetracked. Okay. Do you have a TV show that you think did this trope really well?
I was thinking about this. So, like, I looked at the top, like, my top couples that I chose, and I think two of the shows actually did a, like, pretty great job of, like, getting them together, even if they broke them up later and had them come back together.
Okay.
So I thought Buffy did a pretty decent job of, like, getting Buffy and Angel together. So, like, they worked at it. So it was, like, this relationship that kind of, like, you watched it grow and happen, but then you were there for every single moment of it.
I agree.
Like, their first kiss, to, like, why they broke up, to them, like, getting back together on Angel and, like, breaking up again, and, like, the reasons why they couldn't be together, and, like, the various different aspects of, like, the relationship you were there for it the entire time. So I felt like that show did a pretty great job of, like, having the will they, won't they be together, and then, like, letting them be together, and then separating them for for reasons that made sense. Like, they broke up because, like, he turned evil and, like, he wasn't the same person. And, like, it was all these different things. But it didn't change, like, how she felt about him. Like, she still loved him. And, like, I could talk about Buffy for days. For days and days.
I agree. I think they handled it well in the sense that, like, it didn't seem like they kept pushing it for ratings. Or they kept pushing it because, like, they felt like if they put them together that it would ruin everything. It felt organic and it felt real. And like you said, they really worked on it. So I agree. I agree.
The show survived, like, without them being together. So, like, it survived in the beginning without them being together. And then it was just blissfully beautiful when they were together. And then it kept moving forward even after they weren't together. And so I'm like, I thought that was, they did such a great job.
Okay, so a couple I think that did it pretty well was, a show that did it really well was Parks and Rec, which I know you haven't seen, but Amy Poehler's character and Adam Scott's character, so it's Ben and Leslie, they did a really good job of building up the fact that these two characters liked each other, but yet they had a very real reason to kind of keep them apart for a bit, but you could still feel that, like, that tension. And then they brought them together in a realistic way, in a realistic time, and then kept them together and kept them, like, as a total power couple. So it was like, it was none of this, like, BS, wait for the ratings kind of thing. It was none of this, like, it wasn't prolonged too much. Everything was done in a very good time. And yeah, I just think they were one of the shows that did it very well. It just felt real. Yeah.
Okay, that's something I can get behind for sure.
Yeah. So do you have a TV show that did it horribly?
All right, I'm ready. Are you ready for this?
I think I know what you're gonna talk about.
I have two.
Okay,
like, I didn't mention either of them, but in all caps in my notes I wrote Bones.
Yeah.
Like, if people listen to last week's episode, they understand. So I put Bones and Veronica Mars, to be honest.
Both of
those shows.
I think that's fair.
Oh my god. Bones made me so mad. I'm gonna swear on this show. Made me so angry because, like, the entire time you're sitting there and you're like, oh my god, Booth and Brennan need to be together. Like, I need them to be a couple. I need them to be together. I need something more than you're giving me. And, like, we're waiting all of this time and, like, you get this preview or, like, this flashback of, like, you get two instances. Oh, my God. I'm just, like, my mind is all jumbled right now.
No. It's true. You get dream sequences.
The coma.
The coma.
So you get the coma with the dream where, like, Booth and Brennan are finally together and, like, they're going to have a baby and, like, it's so perfect. It's so wonderful. And it's a freaking dream.
Which, I mean, you had to know it was a dream.
I knew it was. But it was like, and then he wakes up and she's like, oh my god, you're okay, like, whatever. And he's like, who are you? And I'm like, are you kidding?
Yes, exactly.
What is this? So you get that, and then you get the flashback of, like, when they first met, right? Yeah. And, like, they got drunk and they, like, kissed and you're like, it's so perfect because it's them and they're not together.
I will say, like, they did a lot of things wrong, like, they really did, but the one part that they did really well, or at least the part that was, like, the most see, I'm all about the angst. You are not about the angst.
I'm fine about a certain level of angst.
I hate season 6. However, the angst in that show, holy moly, like, so much fan fiction, like, particularly the episode where Brennan kind of starts to go kind of crazy and she's super sleep deprived and she basically admits her feelings to Booth and he's like dude, I'm with someone. Like, this can't happen right now. I have never cried so much.
I cried so much during that scene because she, like, finally, she, like, remember when we thought they were going to get together after they've been seeing, like, Sweets for a long time, and they kind of give you this, like, taste of, like, him telling her that he wants to be with her, and she's like, I can't be with you, because she's like, I don't want to ruin what we could have, and like, I'm just not this person, and it's,
and
just
she,
like,
didn't trust herself enough to give into it,
to love him enough, and it's just like, it's so beautiful, and like, I was crying, and then like, when she finally tells him like how she feels about him and that she wants to be with him and she's ready and he's with somebody, and you're like, you don't need to be with this person, you need to break up and be together.
It was but so then, like, good.
Oh my god. So like, all of that is just so great, and like, it's building up to like something incredible of like them finally being together, and they freaking
do it off screen.
Oh my god. I will never not be angry about that. Like, there are only a couple of TV shows where things happen that I will forever be so mad. Can you see me trying to cuss every time? I'm like, I'm so PO'd. PO'd.
You could say pissed off. It's not cussing.
I'm so pissed. I'm just so pissed. is because, like Booth is, or Brennan is staying with Booth because there's, like, a assassin out there, like, a sniper trying to kill them, and, like, she goes into his room, and, like, they're there, and then, like, you see them kiss, and you're like, oh my god.
No,
oh
they
my
don't god. Even kiss.
No, they don't kiss. They don't kiss. You don't even see that, and you're like, oh my god, something might happen or whatever, because she wants to stay in the room with him and have him protect her, and then she's talking to Angela the next day, and she's like, something happened, and I'm like, what?
Yes, exactly. I was like, first of all, you were just cuddling. Don't even tell me you did something off screen. I waited years for this moment.
I'm so... just... I'm so mad.
I agree. So who? What is your other couple?
So I said Veronica Mars. So Luke.
Oh yes.
Or Logan and Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, you see them get together, right? And I'm not saying that I need to be a part of every aspect of every character's relationship. Like, I don't need to be in the room watching them be together. Like, I don't need that. But I just need like a lead in, like. Like,
you don't you don't need to watch them be together in the biblical sense, is what you're
saying. I don't need to see them, like, be, I just want, like, the whole thing we were waiting for is that, like, was for Logan and Veronica to, like, be intimate, more intimate together for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't give us that.
Yeah.
At all. Like, we got all the kissing and the cuddling and the love and all of that stuff, but I just wanted to see, like,
just a lead into that.
A lead into it, not just, like, them together in a bed after. Like, that's so unsatisfying. Like, the only thing that's more unsatisfying than that one was, remember how shocked I was about how, with Luke and Lorelai? I'm sure that's on your list, too.
Yes.
Because I was sitting there, and, like, they go on their first date, and I'm like, oh my god, we're finally here. 4 seasons later, I've been waiting all of this time for this. And they go on their date, and he's telling her that he's all in, like, 100% invested. And then they fade out to black and fade back in, and they're in the bed together. I was like, I didn't even get anything.
I will say, though, as frustrating as that was, because, yeah, you were all of a sudden, it was just like, boom, cut to them afterwards. You're like, what the heck? Like, where did that come from? They did have the best first kiss, like one of the best first kisses, in my opinion. So I feel like that kind of makes up for it. So whereas, like, with Booth and Brennan, we got to see them do a mistletoe kiss. We got to see them do a coma kiss. We got to see them do, like, a kiss in a flashback, but we never got to see their first kiss after years of staying apart. That was the moment we were waiting for. We didn't have to see them, like, start stripping each other's clothes off. We didn't need any of that. I would have just settled for a kiss and then a, like, walking into the bed. I don't know. I don't even care. Just, like, a kiss. And then we, like, know that they, I don't know. But we didn't even get that. We got a cuddle. That is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. Like, that show let me down in ways that I cannot describe. Like, after that happened, like, where she was like, oh, yeah, like, something happened. I was like, F this show. F it. I'm not watching it anymore. I'm so... the only thing that makes me rage more than that couple not getting together is Charlie Bradbury's death scene on Supernatural. Nothing makes me rage more than that. 30-second death scene after a commercial break from one of the most important characters in that show. Are you kidding me?
That is your unit of measurement. You're like, if anything's above that, that's extreme rage.
I'm just like a rage monster right now. Good luck for anybody who's still listening right now. I'm so sorry.
We're just very passionate about this topic. It's fine. So let's move on to shows we thought did it very well. So like I mentioned, Luke and Lorelai getting together, I thought was a great kiss. I absolutely love the way that Castle and Beckett get together. Like, you know, did you watch that?
No, I've seen. Okay. I used to watch reruns of Castle on TNT.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've seen, I'm a casket shipper.
Where they literally shut the front door.
I actually really love that so much because he's like, what do you want, Beckett? And I was like, she wants to make out with your face.
Yeah. And then it's just like that passion and he like pushes her up against the door and dang.
Oh my God.
Get it.
High five, Nathan Fillion. Just high five. Get it, girlfriend.
Oh, wait, didn't we already talk about TV shows that did it well?
We did.
It's dumb. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well,
I don't know. I just wanted to talk about Luke and Lorelai and Castle, I guess. That's why.
Well, you didn't really talk about who did it well because we talked about Buffy and then you just went right on into the next question.
I know. I'm sorry. Do you have any, moments like I just mentioned, I guess, that... Did it well? Like that first kiss, I mean, not just the relationship overall, but like the actual getting together part is, I guess, what I was more jumping into.
That was just so satisfactory. I'm trying to think. Max and Liz was pretty great because like you could see their like relationship developing in Roswell over time. And then like, it was kind of this like, she won this like radio show to go out on this blind date or something. And like Max got drunk and like was doing all these really wonderful things for her. And like, it was very romantic, but then like, it just didn't go the way that like we had hoped. Like he couldn't remember what happened because he was drunk. And then like, there was an episode in season one, which is my favorite, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it's called Heat or something, but there's, like, this heat wave going on in Roswell, and, like, everybody is getting together, and, like, they're, like, everybody's getting together, and then, like, oh, Heat's not my favorite one, but that one, like, Michael and Maria are hooking up, and then, like, in the next episode is when Liz and Max's, like, relationship comes to, like fruition, like it happens.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful moment. Like he comes in to the crash down cafe and she's there like daydreaming. Like she's having these dreams about Max and like she was daydreaming about him and like he comes in and she had like knocked over a bowl of strawberries because Maria's like, oh, nice strawberries, and she like knocks it over. So she's like picking them up. And, like, Max comes in, and he's, like, helping her pick them up, and, like, their hands touch on the same strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, hands it to her, and she's like, thanks, and, like, goes back into the kitchen, and he follows her, and she's like, Max, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, well, I have, I have a mission from my planet to take over your planet. Like, and she goes, besides that, and he goes, I wanted to talk to you about like what happened. And she's like, well, people do a lot of dumb things when they're drunk. And she does that thing where like she walks in front of him and like kind of like swishes past him through like a really tight space. And he like follows her with his like whole body, like follows her and like leans forward to like following her. This is so ridiculous. Why am I describing this whole scene? And like, so they're, like, talking and, like, and just out of nowhere, he, like, because she has her back to him and he, like, turns her around and like kisses her and then picks her up and puts her on top of a fryer, like on top of the counter, and they're just like making out. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Lots of passion is what you're saying. Yes. We like lots of passion. Yeah.
This is so dumb.
So I'm such a dummy. I realized that I was basically skipping to my eighth question, which was what show did the best in getting their couple together, but whatever. Yes. We've already talked about it. So I want to go into the discussion of the moonlighting curse, because
you're gonna have to tell me what that is.
Oh, okay. You don't know about it?
No, I probably do. I just don't know, like, what it was called.
Oh, okay. So, a very big thing that goes with will there, won't they, like, relationships is this moonlighting curse. Like, the reason why I know it so much is because Hart Hansen, who created Bones, was so obsessed with this curse that I think he just shot himself in the foot. So, basically, there was a show called Moonlighting in the late 80s. On ABC, and it starred Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis. Now, these two actors hated each other in real life, but that put the passion in the like in their show. So they were like, they were one of those couples that was just like had this crazy sexual tension, right? And
yeah.
So everyone always says, "Oh, when they finally put the characters together, that's when the show got bad, and that's when everyone stopped watching." And so that became, like, they call it, like, the moonlighting curse. So that any will-they-or-won't-they couple who got together, that's when the show got crappy. So, like, a lot of people say, like, when Luke and Lorelai got together, that's kind of when the show just went down. But really, it was, like, a lot of other reasons. Trying to think of other examples. However, the thing about the moonlighting curse, the reason why the show went bad was not because they got together, but because the show creator was such a perfectionist that sometimes he would delay production to the point where they would be like a month in between episodes.
Oh, wow.
So, back in the day when there was no TiVo, like, you had to watch everything live, and you kind of only knew when things would be on from your TV guide that you bought at the store.
Yes.
They, like, okay, like, for an example, the season after they got together, after the series premiere, there was an entire month between the first episode and the second episode. Wow. So people like didn't know when to watch it, and it got kind of frustrating. I mean, everyone that was hardcore about it obviously stuck with it and kept trying, but because like the production got so crazy and the airing schedule got so crazy, that's why a lot of people stopped watching it. But they blame it on the fact that it was when they got together.
Okay.
Yeah, but there is a kind of hard, like, there is a tough spot for writers when it comes to prolonging a relationship for so long that when they get together, it's kind of like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Like, when you think about it, like, that always is a tricky transition.
Yeah.
You know, like, because for a lot of shows, like, the whole dynamic of the show is, okay, yeah, we have the plot going on here, but, like, we're really here to see if these two characters get together. But it's like, when they're together, what are we watching now? Just them being a couple? If a writer can do it well, yes, that is what you watch it for this couple to be together. But for some reason, a lot of writers get tripped up on, like, okay, crap, what do we do now? Like, this is what I was good at writing at. How do I make this couple, like, just be a couple and it be normal? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I always feel like that very much goes along with this trope in the sense that it always seems to trip writers up.
Oh, yeah. Because when you're describing it, the only show I could think of that I've seen was Bones. Because to me, it felt like they spent so long trying to get Booth and Brennan together that once they got them together, that show had nowhere to go.
Yeah. Well,
after that,
they did eventually figure out how to make storylines with them as a couple.
Yeah.
But I think actually Castle had a harder time because they, very similarly to Moonlighting, the actors didn't really like each other by that point.
Aww.
So while there was a season or two of them being a lovey-dovey couple, they were constantly trying to pull them apart for stupid reasons. Mm. So it's like, okay, like, I understand if you want to break a couple up because you prefer them apart, like, do it for a good reason. This was just, like, stupid. This was, like, stupid reason. So, we already talked about couples that did a really good job of coming together. Mm-hmm. Like, what other than Bones, do you have any other shows that you think just, like, did not do a great job of transitioning from not being a couple to being a couple?
Trying to think. Like, I tried to think about this question, and, like, I was having a hard time. Like, I know I mentioned, because, like, Lucifer, so you have Lucifer and Chloe, and they are actually not together. So they were together for, like, an episode, and then, like, all of this stuff happened, and now they're not together. And, like, you can keep seeing them try to put them together, but they're never, like, not together.
Yeah.
Which is...
Are they scared?
So frustrating. It's how they've written the storyline, because it's how, particularly for Lucifer, so, like, obviously Lucifer Morningstar is Lucifer, like, the, you know, the guy who runs hell, like, that guy, son of God, like, Lucifer. And Chloe is a detective that he works with, but Chloe Decker is actually, like, I don't know if anybody's ever watched the show, because I might ruin it.
Spoilers.
spoiler alert. Chloe, the reason that she was born is because God had one of his archangels intervene and get and bless Chloe's parents with a child, like the mom to get pregnant. So she was born because of like interference from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So when Lucifer found that out, he was like, oh, it's just my father trying to manipulate me again. And he, like, put a stop to this relationship completely. So it's for the storyline. It's just frustrating as hell. But, I mean, I don't think that answers your question at all.
Well, no, I mean, it is a... It does feel like a very manipulative way of breaking them apart just to keep them apart.
But it's like, I guess the way they seamlessly fit it into the storyline, because Lucifer always thinks that his father's trying to manipulate him.
Mm-hmm.
So with like every little thing, like sending his brothers and then like his mother and like all these different things. So like it actually made a lot of sense for the storyline. It doesn't make it any less like makes me any less happy because I mean, like, it still makes me really mad that they're not together because I needed them to be together.
Yeah.
Because, like, every time, oh my god, they do that thing where, like, every time you think, like, he's gonna tell her, like, that he's Lucifer, that he's, like, you know, an archangel who rules over hell and whatever, something happens.
Yeah.
Like, he, at the end of last season, he called her and he was like, okay, I'm ready to, like, talk to you about everything that's going on and all of this stuff. And then he wakes up in a desert somewhere in the middle of nowhere with no memory of how he got there with his wings back. And that's how the episode ended. And I'm like, just what? What? How could you?
What, like, the heck?
I've been waiting all this time for him to tell her. And, like, you just ruin it. Man, that show is really good. If anybody hasn't watched Lucifer.
All right, so that would be your recommendation. Cool.
Yes.
Any other couples you want to quickly gush about before we wrap this episode up?
Dawson and Joey. And Pacey and Joey.
Yes.
Dawson's Creek, I watched from... So, I only watched... It was really funny because I watched it seasons 1-4. And then when they left to go to college, I was like, the show is stupid. And I didn't watch it. And then the big announcement came. Episode 1, season 6. The moment you've all been waiting for. Dawson and Joey are gonna, like...
you know, get together, relations. Yes.
Have relations. And so I was immediately like, oh my God, we're back in it. So like, I jumped right back on that bandwagon, like right back onto that show. I was like, we could do this as the last season. Like, I actually, turns out that season 5, the season I didn't watch live, is actually one of my favorite seasons.
Yes.
Which is so stupid. It's because of, I loved the short relationship between Joey and Professor Wilder that was happening, like her professor, which is why I loved him in Veronica Mars, the guy who plays in the show. But anyways, so Dawson and Joey, they did a really great job of like giving us what we wanted right at the beginning of the show. So like Dawson and Joey together, end of season 1. Beautiful. Yeah. Beginning of season 2. But they're young teenagers. They do stupid things. Dawson is an idiot. I blame him 100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. You don't read a girl's diary. You don't do that.
No. No,
that's
no,
just
no.
A no, 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 no. So he did that. They like semi broke up and then like got back together. And then Joey started having feelings for Jack. And they broke up again. And like she was with Jack for a short period of time. And then Jack is gay. And finally admitted it to himself.
Yes.
And they broke up. And Joey was trying to be with Dawson, but Dawson was, like, in a different place in his life or something. And, like, with a different girl or with, like, Jen. I can't remember. But ended up pushing Joey towards Pacey, which, in to me, that's actually the couple that I like the most. Like, I love Dawson and Joey together, but I like Pacey and Joey's relationship so much more. Yes. Like, they did a really fantastic job of, like, being two opposite people that finally came together. Like, he was always there for her when she needed him. He took her to see her father in prison when nobody else would take her. Like, he bought her a wall, like, to paint and to express herself. And, like, he did all of these, like, super wonderful things for her. Like, he understood that, like, when she went out on the boat with him, that, like, she wasn't ready to be more intimate with their relationship. And he, like accepted that and like that didn't take away from the intimacy of their relationship being together. So like when they finally did like get together, it was like that moment you've all been waiting for kind of thing. Like they finally slept together and it was like couldn't be more perfect because it was something that she wanted that he wasn't sure if she was ready for it, but like it was everything. Like he knew that the bracelet she was wearing at prom was from her mom and like he bought her a wall and he like loved her, and it was just like more heartbreaking when they actually broke up
because it was such a satisfying get together.
But what I love is that even though they broke them up and Joey like was with other people with like with another guy and then she was back with Dawson for a short period of time, eventually they came back together at a point in their lives when they were ready. And like what I loved is, like, one of my favorite episodes is called Castaways, which is in season 6. It's when they get locked in the Kmart together. And yes. And she's, like, he kisses her. And she's like, why did you do that? And she's like, he goes, well, kissing you is something that I always want to do. It's always in the back of his mind, like white noise.
Yeah.
And she's like, is this something new? He goes, oh, no, kissing you is something that I always want. And she was like, you wanted to kiss me when we were fighting. He goes, especially when we're fighting, like he always like his love for her never really stopped. Yeah. And like even though they went different ways and he was with her roommate and like all these different things, he never actually stopped like feeling a specific way about her. And like even when they broke up just after that, it was really heartbreaking. But then like at the end, like this probably show had the most satisfying ending to a TV show that I've ever seen. To be honest, because they did like the flash forward a little bit and like you thought they played with you a little bit. Like, is she going to pick Dawson? Is she going to pick Joey? Like, I mean, they did a little weird because they were like Dawson was making a TV show about the TV show that you were watching, which is really weird.
But it worked.
It works because his whole life was about the story of Dawson, Joey and Pacey. But like it was kind of this like they're at this point in their lives where like, who is she going to be with? And, like, at the end, you're sitting there and they do this, like, slow reveal, which was so just, like, oh, my God, edge of your seat. Like, who is she with at the apartment when they're watching the last episode of The Creek? Like, who is she with? And, like, they go up his arm and you see the bracelet. And I was like, oh, my God, she picked Macy.
Very nice.
Oh my god, I love that show so much. Sorry, like, I have all the seasons on DVD. Like, I love that show.
Yes. That's okay. I did ask you if you wanted to gush about one show.
sorry. Dawson and, or PC and Joey forever. OTP forever.
Yes. So before we wrap this up, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you know this, but I just wanted to give this little tidbit to the audience, but Mulder and Scully and their fans were actually the ones to create the term shipping, which is what? A huge part of culture now. Yeah, so the term shipping came from the X-Files fans.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So they were like one of the first big internet fandoms. Like, because
I would agree with that.
Yeah, because they were around when the internet was basically becoming more accessible to the data, you know, like normal average person. And yeah, they had a huge, huge fandom that was very much online, like had a big online presence. And they came up with the term shipping, which comes from the word relationship. So I just wanted to say Mulder and Scully have a lot to owe to the current, you know, fandom culture. That's all.
They also have a lot to owe to your personal life.
Yes. Mulder and Scully have brought me my husband and many friends. So,
I mean, without X-Files and their online presence, you may not have met Eamon. And then you also would not have met Karen.
Exactly.
Which is the entire reason that you and I know each other. So literally, we owe almost our entire lives to X-Files.
Exactly. So
thank you.
Just wanted to end on that note.
It's a good note to end on, I will say.
Yes, and so I guess that wraps up this week's episode. Another long one, but once again, I think another great episode. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. Yes. Katie and I have a very fun month of October planned for you all. So we got very excited last week about Halloween and kind of what episodes we wanted to do. So we planned a Halloween themed month. So every podcast that comes out in October is going to be Halloween themed. So here are some episodes you have to look forward to. Scary movie franchises, the Scream movies and TV show, Beetlejuice, childhood Halloween movies, and Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Of course. Hocus Pocus and Beetlejuice deserve an entire episode all to themselves.
Yes. So look forward to that. And thanks again, everyone. You can find our show notes for this episode and every episode at teatimewithkc.com. Feel free to send us an email with your thoughts on this week's episode or ideas for a future episode to our email, which is tewithkc@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at teatimewithkc. And you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you could leave us a review, that would be great. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We hope to hear from you. And until next time...
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Join us next time for another cup of tea.
Hi, my name is Joe Hogan, and I'm a geek. And if you're currently listening to this, there's a good chance you're a geek too. So check out my podcast, Geektitude. Each week, I talk with somebody about their geek aptitude. Sometimes I talk to people in a geeky profession. Sometimes it's someone doing something really cool with their geekiness. Often it's another geeky podcaster. But it's always someone who wants to share their inner geek. So join me each week as we come together to geek out about all the geeky stuff we love. And remember, this week, keep it geek.
Comics.
Hey everyone, this is Rob, your friendly neighborhood comic geek.
And this is Liam, the languishing, lascivious Liam of Langley.
Wow, that was extremely illiterate of you.
Well, I try.
We are the hosts of The Comic Box, part of the Geek to Geek Podcast Network.
So, join us.
Bop, bop.
Oh, yeah.